podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
All right. Chelsea 2, Wolves 4. Where do I start? Let's start with the fact I've got to go to work soon for 12 hours and work with a Wolves fan, which is going to be an absolute bundle of joy. Simple fact of the matter is, really, one team looked well coached, worked in coherently, knew their responsibilities, knew what they had to do. The other team is an absolute disjointed mess. All fart, no poo, really, looking at Chelsea's team, you know, full of stars, yet they never play for each other. They never have an idea what they're doing attacking or defensively. And quite frankly, I think this will be the turning point for many fans. We've not seen any real improvement, I'd say, from the start of the season. We keep saying this, two steps forward, five, six, seven, maybe eight steps back, you know, back to the bottom half of the table now. The manager, I think, has had an easy ride so far. I think now questions seriously have to be asked. Questions have to be asked about the recruitment as well. Because, apart from Gallagher, who has he actually improved? I can't see improvement from any players. I think Palmer, we already knew, was going to be an absolute star because he's come from Man City and he's been coached by Pep for the last 2 years. It was honestly disgraceful. It was a disgraceful performance. And to be honest, if I'm the manager, I'm getting those pricks running every day now in the build-up to the Villa game. There has to be a reaction to a Villa game. There should have been a reaction today, back home in front of the fans, after a quite embarrassing performance at Anfield, and they've put in that. It's just not good enough now. It's just not good enough. You know, we're a cut final away from this season just being another total shit show. Anyway, rant over. Have a good evening.
Welcome back to That Chelsea Podcast. Can we talk about Argyle instead? Can we talk about literally anything else other than this game? Oh, boy. This is... Buckle up, folks. This is probably going to get quite lively. Join me to look back at a disastrous afternoon at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea fell to 11th place with a 4-2 defeat against Wolves. I'm joined by two people who you will all be very familiar with, but I think I've got on together at the same time for the first time ever. Starting with my man, Jam, at Carefree Jam. Jam, how are we doing, my man?
What a stupid question. You know the answer. Everyone knows the answer. I'm not going to answer it, but you all know.
Indeed. It's just basic pleasantries. Pat is my second guest. Pat, how are we doing, my man?
Probably in the same, category as Jam at the moment. But football aside, I can't complain, and always good to be on with you guys. Wish we were here under better circumstances.
Indeed. As all your guests, I get them to give themselves a plug. So, Pat, sticking with you, where can people find you and all your stuff?
You can find me on Twitter, X, and Instagram. It's at @PTP_COYB. The motivation for content hasn't really been there recently with the types of results that we've had, and but I'm still doing the event, you know, the occasional chat with Pats, and if there's something on my mind I want to talk about, I put it out there, and I try to stay as positive as I can, but I also try to stay as realistic as I can. I mean, there's times that positivity can't put band-aids over a situation. I mean, it is what it is. So I try to also be authentic with it as well. So again, it's at @PTP_COYB. And, you know, if what I talk about interests you, I'd love to get your follow.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Pat's links will be in the description below. And Jam, tell people where they can find you and all the stuff regarding the Chelsea social.
Yeah, you can find all my rants at, on @Carefree_Jam. That's on X, TikTok, and Instagram. And I say rants only because of how we're doing right now. But, you know, other than that, I can be a quite a nice guy. So please don't take that for all I am. But no, you can find me on that. And the Chelsea social is @TheChels Social. and at the CFCW social as well for the women's team.
Lovely, lovely stuff. Jam's link will be in the description below. Right, the game is a mess and we will get onto it shortly, but Jam, I'm just going to stick with you. I'm going to give you a challenge. In 30 seconds or less, just try and sum up today's game. Go.
I might just bring out words to describe it, you know. Hacked, dismantled, ruined, rinsed, outclassed, outfought, outbattled. You know, we were just physically not up to it. Wolverhampton came with a game plan and they completely did us. What more can we say? You know, some of their goals are a little bit lucky, which we'll talk about, but maybe on the balance of play, like, they just had that quality that we don't. They had that confidence that we don't. Everyone comes to Chelsea and they just see zero fear factor. So, yeah, I look back on that result and I go, fair play, Wolves. That's it.
Yeah, no, fair enough, fair enough. Fair play, Wolves, I think. Indeed. Let's get into it, because believe it or not, and this feels forever ago, Chelsea did take the lead in this game. Pat, let's start there. For what it's worth, it's actually just a really nice goal, and it's probably one of the rare times today we actually saw Chelsea move the ball really quickly. You see Enzo Fernandez play a lovely ball forward to Conor Gallagher, who lays it off to Moises Caicedo, who again, first time, plays a lovely ball to Cole Palmer to finish home. And Pat, again, it was just, but that was such a lovely goal. Definitely not, you know, and just showed that was basically the only real bright spot to come today, because that was definitely not a sign of things to come. That was just a one-off, but it was a lovely, lovely team goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was there early in the match, and I know that we talked about this before we started up, but you made a good point that when we've taken the lead early, that we've usually done, you know, fairly well about, you know, kind of cracking on and, you know, getting a decent result out of the game. But good team goal, good crisp passing. Cole Palmer he's one of the few that can actually take a lot of his chances. He doesn't take all of them, but he can finish a lot of his chances. And it was a great ball by Caicedo. A nice incisive pass, and you know, a great way to go 1-0 up. And at that point, I was feeling pretty positive. And then, you know, we know what happened after that.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And it means Cole Palmer is the first ever player aged 21 or under to score 10 plus goals in a single Premier League season for Chelsea. But yeah, that was basically really as good as he got, because Jam, a couple of minutes later, Moises Caicedo gets caught in midfield, dispossessed, Wolves attack, Cunha's shot takes a deflection off Thiago Silva, wrong for Jordi Petrovic. It's 1-1 with a couple of minutes. That good start, that good feeling, results in frustration and then just immediate tension. And it was just so poor. And it's a real shame, because as I said, the way, you know, Caicedo gets that assist early on and we're thinking, okay, this is great. He's continuing his great run of form again. It's, you know, not that we should really care what the media narrative around him is, but you're kind of thinking, again, he's putting that to bed. And then that happens. And it's just such a poor, poor goal for Chelsea to concede, isn't it? Which again was just a theme that we would see with the other goals we conceded today.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't help but look at goals that we concede these days and just think there's always an element of comedy value to them. Do you know what I mean? So, Caicedo, I mean, I am worried. I'll say this now. I'm worried, not because of him being a good player. I think he really can be. I believe he's still 22, something like that. And I, you know, obviously the other day he took himself off social media along with Enzo Fernando. They both deleted their ex accounts. I just think maybe all of this noise is getting to him a little bit, because I look at the game against Liverpool and he was proper charged up, probably thinking, oh, these guys keep giving me stick for turning them down and going to Chelsea. And there are moments where I still keep seeing that maybe all of these things are getting to a young player. And, you know, today wasn't a very good day for him. And that, you know, to give the ball away in the fashion that he did was just crap. Just can't really say it any other way, to be honest. But yeah, I back him long term. I think maybe he's going through a bit of a rough patch. But yeah, comedy value with the goals, that deflection just it broke me, and I just thought, oh, here we go. You just know today is going to be one of those days. And even the second goal, which we'll get to, it was just a joke, really. Typical Chelsea.
Well, Jay, I'm sticking with the second goal. It's another deflected goal. Aitnori shot takes a deflection off Axel Disasi again, wrong foot Petrovic, but it's sort of just again a similar type of goal. Player running in, you know, from a ball pulled back across, takes a deflection 2-1. And it was just so easy. And you know, without trying to be too defeatist at that point, I kind of just felt resigned the fact that it was already game over at that point. And I know this Chelsea team have been quite good at coming from behind in games. Points this season. Look at the City game, the amount of times they came back in that. But it just had that feel because you just got that feel watching this game that there was not an energy about Chelsea. There was not the same, you know, well, not the hustle and bustle, the desire, the intangibles that, you know, people bang on about. It just felt that really, aside from that goal that Chelsea scored, it was just slow. It was just so passive. It was just sort of a casual nature. And yeah, that second goal really was a killer. Jam, third goal. Thiago Silva is skinned, and it's another pullback across the box, and there is Cunha to make it 3-1. God, it was painful. And Jam, a word on Thiago Silva, because he was, I thought again, his defending, his part in Liverpool's opener midweek was a joke. I mean, obviously Chilwell gets a lot of blame for that, but him and Badiashile's attempt to deal with that midweek was also, I thought, embarrassing. And today, Jam, I mean, it shouldn't really be a surprise that a defender near 40 is, you know, getting exposed the way he is. And throughout the pod on this season, you know, Thiago Silva has had some really good games. I've been like, you know, every time I sort of write the bloke off, he comes back to make me look a bit silly. But Jam, we saw today, I mean, in general, that Chelsea defence today, there's like, there are some, and I'm, yes, there's injury as well. Levi's not around. Badiashile's not in the greatest form right now. But we're seeing, aren't we, the limitations really are persisting with Thiago Silva, and it just does feel just a very short-term solution, and a short-term solution that's not really hugely providing Chelsea with a whole lot right now, is it?
Yeah, ultimately, I do agree. But what I would say is that Chelsea do not have any kind of a fear factor right now. And I think each layer of defense is supposed to protect the next layer, right? So, you know, let's say the opposition centre backs have the ball. You could say our attackers are our first line of defense, then the midfielders, then the defense, then the goalkeeper. What I will say is under Poch, multiple times this season, it looks like the defense doesn't have any kind of protection. It just the amount of times I see us just openly defending one-on-ones, it feels like a little bit too much. And maybe I wouldn't mind as much if we were scoring more goals and being on the front foot more and sticking it on them, keeping the ball. It just feels a bit out of control. And I think today I look at it and I go, yeah, Silva, you're obviously on the way out. You've been great. Most of the time at Chelsea, you are declining naturally. It was always going to come to this point. But I also think, why is he one-on-one with Pedro Neto? How has that come about? Do you know what I mean? Of course he's going to get stung, sorry. How many people in that position would actually come out on top of Pedro Neto? And this is not me protecting him. I'm just saying that I just think teams look at us and they just go, just stick it on Chelsea, keep asking questions, eventually you get something. Do you know what I mean? So it's not really looking good for Thiago Silva, but let's just say he wasn't playing. Let's just say Levi Colwill was fit. I think the same thing happens because we've seen him get skinned enough times this season as well. So I'd rather kind of take the heat off Silva directly or individually, if you like. And I look at the whole defense and why they're so exposed. That's what my personal feeling is, anyway.
Yeah. Pat, Wolves make it 4. Malo Gusto gives away a penalty, and they kind of just complete a really difficult afternoon for him. He had his struggles, particularly there's a moment in the first half. He sort of, you know, plays a poor pass back, but then leads to a Wolves attack, which he then does, you know, sort of rectify, but then he gives away a foul, you know, shortly immediately after. Again, he gives away a penalty there. Tough day for him. It means that gives Cunha a chance to get a hat trick, which means that he joins Kanu, Robin van Persie, and Sergio Aguero to score Premier League hat tricks. at Stamford Bridge. Yeah, Pat, it was just, that kind of just summed it up, really. I just felt that Chelsea just giving away a punty and conceding four for the second time in a matter of days. Yeah. I mean, Pat, you know, I don't want to tear in on Malo Gusto too much, because as I said, there's a lot of other players who, you know, we'll get onto later. But that was, Pat, potentially Malo Gusto's most difficult game in a Chelsea shirt so far. I struggled to really remember him having a game as poor as that. And even though, you know, we're talking about this game, he also did during this game as well, put in a really lovely cross for Nicholas Jackson, but Jackson did head wide. But Pat, Gusto's most difficult appearance in a Chelsea shirt so far?
As far as I can think of, I'd say yes. I mean, I will say this about Gusto. Of all of our signings, he's certainly one of the ones that I would say overall is a net positive for how he's played this season. And, you know, in terms of like what he provides in width and what he provides in crosses, even if our forwards don't finish those crosses, he's been good at deputizing for Reece James, who, you know, is not available. And overall, I'd say he's been a net positive. But today, he had a really difficult day. I mean, that Kun, you know, that penalty he gave away. I mean, he's known when he does get caught out a little bit, he is known to try to make some, he can make some unwise tackles sometimes. And I would say that was a penalty today. There was a question about whether he got the ball first, but you could see on the replays that he did kind of get the leg before he got the ball. And it's difficult because I don't want to go, similar to the way that Jam didn't really want to go in on Thiago Silva too much, I don't want to go in too much on Gusto. It was not a good day for him today. That's clear. But overall, I think he's been a net positive. I agree with Jam in the sense that I think it's on the whole defense, especially with recent form. I mean, there's just something with the mentality back there. I mean, even in other seasons when we've had, even in previous seasons where we've struggled, one of the things that we were doing is we had a somewhat decent defense most of the time. But this season it's just gone. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've had those 4-0, 5-1 defeats in previous seasons, but you know, now we've got two on the bounce where we have no energy and look completely outclassed. And when you put that with the fact that we have trouble scoring, we can create chances, but we have a lot of time scoring goals. That just accentuates the problem even more. And it puts us in even more of a difficult situation, because there's no way that we're going to be able to stay in games with our defense in the form that it's in. And it doesn't come down to one player. I mean, it's, as Jam said, we've seen it with Badia Shiel. We've seen it with Caldwell. We've seen it with Disasi. We've seen it with Silva. We've seen it with everybody. And I agree with Jam too, that I think defense is a team responsibility. It's not just on the back four, on a back four or a back five, if you want to call it that. It's no matter what formation, it's everyone's responsibility to defend. And a lot, and so many times there's such big gaps between the midfield and the defense, and we just leave our defense exposed. And against teams in the Premier League, you're going to get punished for it, especially when you're giving the ball away in midfield. They're, you know, these Premier League sides are going to punish you. One of the only teams that doesn't seem to punish you for it enough is Chelsea. And it's, you know, Cunha was up for it today. Adnori was up for it today. And it's something we have to address. Poch has gotten a lot wrong, but there's also times that there's individual mistakes on the field that you can't blame on Poch entirely. I'm not saying that hasn't made his mistakes. He certainly has. I said on X today, I think there's a lot of blame to go around, and you can ask 20 different people and you're going to get 20 different answers about who's to blame and how much blame each party gets. But it's a collective responsibility that the only thing I do know is that something's not right at Chelsea, and they've got to find a way to fix it.
Yep. Chelsea do get a goal back late on. Thiago Silva scores from a Colin Midrick header, makes it 4-2. But full time scores, and it means Wolves have won a Premier League away game against Chelsea for the first time in their history. And they scored as many goals this afternoon, four, as they did in their last nine games at Stamford Bridge combined. Chelsea have conceded 4+ goals in a Premier League season for the first time ever, and have conceded 4+ goals in consecutive league games for a second time under Maurizio Pochettino. Some of that hasn't happened since December 1989, prior to his arrival. It was a dismal afternoon. We will get on to chatting about Poch shortly, because there's some listener questions on that. But Jam, like, honestly, I know, I mean, in their sort of breakdown of goals, kind of, you know, since, you know, mentioned Caicedo, mentioned Gusto, you know, Disasi a little bit as well. But Jam Jam, like, I can't really think about anyone who really was actually genuinely at a level good enough today. Enzo, I don't really recall being much in the game much after that, after his contribution for the first goal. Conor Gallagher ran around, put himself about, but didn't really contribute much. Ben Chilwell, I thought, struggled. The one moment he does have, which is nice, is a ball from Palm, which he sort of lays back to Sterling at the beginning of the second half for Sterling to fire wide. Sterling played football today. Was not just really, really wasn't good. Said the only people I can really sort of absolve from any sort of blame today are Petrovic and Palmer to an extent. It was just really, really poor all over. It was just so, so bad. I'm gonna further the conversation now because there was a tweet at full time from Bel Silva. It's time to change. If you wait any longer, it will be too late. That's gonna kind of lead us into our discussion, but Jam, before we get onto it, just before we get onto it, I really like Thiago Silva. And in general, like when the Silvers like came to Chelsea, I think we all really loved the passion they've shown, the love they've got for the club. And I think that's pretty clear. This tweet does not sit well with me, even if there will be a lot of people who think there's like element of truth to it, etc., and they will actually agree with the tweet. Because I don't think you can really have the partner of a player tweeting that. And also, when we go on, we'll go on to it in a bit, but I don't see a world how this gets any better and how there's really a world where Poch can really survive or continue at Chelsea, because I would argue that if that's Bell's opinion, that's probably an opinion. And again, without jumping to conclusion, there's a decent chance that's an opinion that's held by Thiago as well. And it just feels like undermining manager. Jam, there's a lot to unpack there. Oh, that probably just the last thing that was needed at the end of the day. And I know maybe people will, brush it under the carpet, but I just think that's really bad. And I will get on to chatting about Poch and, his flaws and what next, etc. But I just think that's really poor from Bell and something we can't really afford to be having.
Yeah, it's not ideal, but when everything's going against you, when you're in a negative spiral, there's going to be more and more things that come out like this. So, in some sense, I'm not surprised. We know she's got a big mouth. I do like her. I've actually met her before. She is a fan. She's really like heart on sleeve. Like, I rate that. And when you're like that, you're probably going to speak before you think sometimes, especially when you're emotionally charged. I get it, but she also does have that responsibility of being the wife of a senior player that is not just any senior player, is Thiago Silva. This guy's opinion is going to carry probably the most weight in the team compared to any other player. So to do that, it's really reckless because she hasn't thought about how the implications on Thiago. But then I also thought the other way. Maybe she knows. And, maybe we've seen this before with Chelsea. Maybe this is the start of a really bad time for Poch, because this could just be a way of starting to send the message, a way to start to get the hints out there that this guy isn't it, and he has to go, perhaps. So, I wouldn't like to see it, and I would really hope that we can get beyond all this nonsense as a football club, in times to come. But as of now, how do I feel about it? I'm quite torn. Morally not right, but in reality, don't care. I'll be honest, I don't care. I
Fair enough,
do.
fair
I'll
enough.
find out what I see.
Yeah, I think it just I think it probably adds doesn't help to the whole vibe and the potential circus attitude, opinion sort of feel around Chelsea that you've got that stuff coming out. But we will get into questions because there's a few. Jess asks, "Is it over?" Chris asks, "How long does it go on for?" I'm not Poch out, but this is in danger of becoming a full-blown crisis. Poor result on Wednesday. He's in trouble, but we need accountability from the clients at the top. Davey, how do we improve? Not one for sacking manager after manager, but something has to change. Waste a 3-1 down before he changes anything. Can we go back to playing the U players like with Lamps? I mean, Davey, that if you see the age of our squad, granted they're not all academy boys, but we're playing a lot of young players. And it's not quite working. And Gab's friend of the show asked, would Gary O'Neill, who entered the Wolves under dreadful circumstances, do a better job than Poch of a club who's been given all the tools to succeed, but let down by a bizarre recruitment model? There's a lot of questions, so we're just going to kind of all move it into one in just one general Poch chat. I know Jam's feelings on this because I've read his feed today. So, Pat, I will wait for you, Jam, and I will start with you, Pat. Pat, how are you feeling about Maurizio Pochettino right now? Just honest thoughts, how are you feeling about him?
Mixed feelings. I don't think everything is Maurizio Pochettino's fault. I really don't. I don't think he's helped himself in a lot of situations, but I really, to be honest, I think the Chelsea job is a poison chalice. I think no matter who you bring in, that some of these problems are still going to be there. And I guess my question to be for everyone who's just 1,000% Poch out, who do you get to replace him? Number one, who's going to be willing to come in to replace them? Now, there's always going to be some managers that, because Chelsea is the club that it is and it's a big club, and if they're at a, you know, perceived smaller club, maybe they're attracted to it. But in its current state, with the expectations that are on you, with the mess that we have in terms of which players are the right, do we have the right players? Are you going to get the time to implement your system? Which we know at Chelsea, you're not going to really have time to do that because you're expected to win. So I just think at some point, if we just think that the easiest thing to always do when you get into a crisis, or, what anyone's calling a perceived crisis, is the easiest thing to do is to change the manager, because it's not as easy to get rid of players because you're not going to get the perceived valuation that the owners have on it, because they're going to want a return on whether they overpaid for them, or in most cases for us, it's overpaying for them. They're not going to get the perceived return that they want. So the easiest thing is always to change the manager. But I think there's a lot of problems bigger than just the manager. I think it's in player recruitment. I think it's in terms of, the way we've gone about business. I think there's structural and, problems with the club's infrastructure. There's structural problems within the club. I think that there's just a lot of things that, until the club's willing to change, then that, that it's not going to be magically fixed overnight by appointing a different manager. We've tried that, Graham Potter, we got rid of him, and Maurizio was going to be the solution. And I don't think, and we'll get into this, but I don't think just throwing in a Gary O'Neill in this situation, it's a completely different situation than what he has at Wolves. Sure, he didn't have a preseason. He's done a phenomenal job with Wolves this season. He did a great job at Bournemouth Bournemouth last season? Yeah. So he did a great job at Bournemouth last season, but the expectations at those clubs are not what they are at Chelsea. It's a completely different situation, a different set of owners. I'm not saying there's not dysfunction in the same way, but it's a different type of dysfunction. They have players that are playing for the shirt, and they have players with different mentalities to the ones that we have at the moment. So I'm not saying that no manager can fix it, but I don't think it's just as easy as plugging them in and then everything instantly changes. I don't think that that's realistic. I think there's a lot more that's not going to be solved in a tweet or a post that says, well, this is what I should do, and this is what's going to magically fix it. I mean, I wish it worked that way, but in reality, it really doesn't. So I know I'm kind of going all over the place, but I don't think that Poch has done as great a job as he could do, but I also don't think it's all entirely his fault. I don't think you can put individual errors entirely on him. I do think you can get onto him about, substitutions that he makes or formations that he plays, or letting some players go. Like, for example, I wish Ian Motson was still here at this club. Why he was never given a chance at left back, I will never figure out. That is one huge criticism I have for him, and I'm not afraid to say it. But there's other things that, that are responsibilities of players too. I mean, having played, and Jam, I know you're still playing as well. I mean, some things come down to player responsibilities as well on the pitch. And, it's gotta be a two-way street. The manager's got to try to get the best out of you, but you've got to get the best out of yourself as well on the pitch. So, I'm not Poch out yet, I think, but I do think there are changes that need to be made at the club, because I don't think chopping and changing you know, it's not the same as, you know, the previous load of players we had. I mean, we were lucky to have the John Terrys and Frank Lampards and Didier Drogbas of the world that, despite all the chopping and changes, they had different mentalities to these players. They could handle it. This group cannot. They're young and they don't know how to handle that pressure. And I think the fact that we have social media with these fan channels now, it's a whole different type of pressure that they hear now. I mean, it used to be you just hear it in the paper. Now you're hearing it from fans everywhere. So it's, you know, I do feel for players in that respect sometimes, because when people are coming at you and people are putting out edgy stuff for content, it's a, you know, it's a different world now. And it's, you know, I can't imagine it's easy, but it's the world that you sign up for now. So I don't know if that really answers the question, but that's just kind of my raw feelings on it at the moment.
No, fair enough. I think you covered quite a lot there. Jam, Mauricio Pochettino, what are your thoughts on him?
So, Pochettino, a lot of people out there are just trying to sort of, I guess, everyone in their desperation to feel good about Chelsea Football Club again have maybe pushed a bit of a somewhat false narrative in my head that we've progressed since last season. We haven't, really. Our defence has probably gone the other way.
Jam, sorry. I will let you finish. I will let you continue on, but just, I want to point you out. So you don't think we've improved on last season? Is it what you think?
Overall, would you probably not, argue, not.
Would you not argue, looking at performances we've seen against Manchester City in the league this season, against Arsenal in the league this season, the Liverpool game on the opening day of the season, number one here, would you maybe feel that, granted our recent run of form prior to Liverpool was not the most, you know, performance-wise was not most overwhelming, but Chelsea actually won games that last season they weren't doing, potentially in some areas. Do you not? I know it's easy to look at that, and we look at the league table this season, last season, there basically is no improvement. I actually think this season is slightly worse, although I said if come the end of the season, I think it'll be hard for Chelsea to be worse than last season, but you never know. But do you honestly look at it and go, do you not really see much improvement from last season? I mean, just one, I see a Chelsea team, but I do feel can score goals, whereas last season under Graham Potter, I didn't feel we could score goals. However, I will give you that I think we are defensively worse under Mauricio Pochettino than we were under Graham Potter. Have we maybe just traded?
That's a good point.
Have we maybe just swapped a bit? Swapped a little bit? I don't know.
This is it. Thoughts? This is it. We've got different players as well. We've got a very different squad. That could go both ways in the argument. You know, it could go for Poch and against him. What I would say is that actually those examples you gave are good examples. Yeah, we have done well in some big games, but when was the last big game we did well in? You know, we got absolutely bashed by Man United away, absolutely bashed by Newcastle away, absolutely bashed by, who am I missing now? Liverpool away. You know, it's, and that's all since then with those examples you've given. So, yeah, okay, call it recent form, maybe, but I don't feel like it's been any significant progression. Enough for me to say we have progressed. Now, I know, again, he's been given a poison chalice. Like Pat has said, a load of young players, a load of inexperienced players, at least relative to what we had before, completely get it. Not his fault. But is he getting the best out of what he's got? Is he? Come on. He's really not. And some of these tactical decisions just absolutely kill me. You know, to start the season, playing Chilwell left wing, I don't care how raw those wingers were. Crap. And then playing Colwill willingly left back. Come on. You know, there are a few things. The misuse of Enzo as well. Having Enzo join in and be a number 10, essentially, when his best traits are essentially Fabregas when Fabregas played for us. That's him. That's Enzo. He's exactly that. And you see the best of him when he's picking up the ball from the defenders, when he's playing those long balls in behind, when he is in the first few phases of our build-up play, not trying to join in. The guy can't shoot. He's like Kovacic. So have him play deep. Have him help our build-up play. Do you know what I mean? There are a few things, and I'm not really seeing much improvement within the squad, within this season, as in tactically. Where were we at the start of the season to where we are now? Yeah, albeit we've got all these injuries, I hear it. I hear that it's a very difficult job, Chelsea Football Club. Look, if I'm going to be real, it's probably, if not the hardest, one of the hardest jobs in football. The establishment that is Chelsea Football Club has this narrative, has this reputation of just being a machine that would churn you up and spit you out. And the media play to that. They love it. They always want to overblow situations at Chelsea or just be the first ones to get in there and say, oh, there's a crisis. Oh, there's this going on. Oh, there's that going on. It's a problem. And you've got to be a big enough personality to manage that. And the fans, very close to the pitch at Stamford Bridge. We've got some intense rivalries and we got a guy from one of our biggest rivals. How did you really think that was going to go when we got our first inevitable crisis? Like, it's just crazy. To be able to manage this football club, you've got to be almost bigger than life with your personality, in my opinion. Obviously, I've seen it enough now with Graham Potter, with Pochettino. These guys are soft. We don't need that. And there's nothing wrong with being a soft character. It just doesn't work for Chelsea and where we are right now. And yeah, it's I've looked at it. I've waited. I haven't said it yet until today. But when I really deep it, unfortunately, my friends, it is Poch out for me. There's no coming back from this. I'll just say this and then we can move on. Like, I look for the players' reactions. I look for those around the manager to see their body language, what they say in press conferences. And from what I've seen after the game, even going into the game, they look deflated. And I know we just lost 4-1 to Liverpool at Anfield, so that could be a massive part to it. But I've watched these guys for a while. Today, it looks like something broke. It looked like Wolverhampton came to us with zero fear factor, and they knew it. The players knew it after the game, saying they wanted it more than us, coming from our captain today, Ben Chilwell. You know, there are signs out there, Bel Silva, you know, putting a tweet out there. I just think that these players are just going, do you know what? This guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's not for us. And it's the beginning of an ugly end for Pochettino at Chelsea Football Club, in my opinion. And I think we could do him a favour and just cut ties now. P45, job centre. Adios, amigo.
Fair enough. Jam, before I give my thoughts. So if you say you get Poch out now, I'm obviously presuming you're doing about the Fulby Aston Villa Cup tie, you're saying get him gone now. I'm going to ask you for really a difficult question, but I don't want you to cop out like when other people and say, well, it's not my job to do it right. It's the sporting director's job to get it right. Because side point, the sporting director's people who you want to place your faith in, if they Poch gets sacked, they kind of vote for two on these appointments, people. So you're placing people. You're placing your faith in people with not a track record. But if Pochettino was to go, I'm guessing, without putting words on it, you're going down the interim route for the rest of the season, yes?
I am. And it's a great question from you. You know, what would you do then? You're given a problem, but where's the solution? And I'm usually a solution focused person. It just for me has to be an interim. Now, there could be a few names out there that you could suggest. I just
Jan,
look at it
before I
and I
go
go,
interrupt,
yeah.
before I you do it, because we saw what happened last time an interim was made. What would you rather do? Frank Lampard interim spell again, or stick with Poch, or ride it out with Poch till the end of the season?
Oh dear. I think I'd just get rid of Poch. I just think it's now's the time to just to cut ties. I just don't see us progressing that much more with him. If the players have lost that much faith in him, it's at that point where it's going to take. You'll get to the point where every 3 wins you have, one loss cancels it out. At that
That's
point, it's game
I
over.
do want to say that. I will let you finish a bit because it's something I've said with Daniel. I think it was after we lost to Middlesbrough in that first leg, and he was like, "What?" I said, "What? It won't take long. You know, we'll need to beat Fulham. We'll need to beat Middlesbrough and progress in the cup, which we did that. We probably need to beat Villa. Well, we didn't beat that, but it went to a replay. But then that first loss against Liverpool, then that pressure will reset. And then after Liverpool on the pod, I was immediately saying, right, we've now got to beat Wolves. If we beat Wolves, then maybe Aston Villa in the Cup isn't as important as it was. Now, Aston Villa is more important than ever, just due to what's happened today, because I think realistically it's time to concede getting European football through league position. And then after that, it was Crystal
Exactly.
Palace. And it has felt for a while, Jam, unfortunately, that as it does sort of feel that we're only a game away from a crisis, despite whatever run of form is. When I put to you earlier about improvement, that our recent run of form prior to Liverpool, I think, had been good. We progressed in the cups. We had for a period moved up the league table, but as we've seen, it only takes one or two results, and bam, all that work is undone, and now we're 11th in as bad a position as we've been in. It does feel tough, but so continue, because I did interrupt. So you'll continue. So your solution is, you were saying, you still get Poch, so an interim. Now, if I was to throw some names at you, how does Jose Mourinho interim sound to you?
Absolutely superb at this point. I'll take it. And I know he's not necessarily a long-term guy, but just do it. I'm just at that point where we need that change. We need that. Chelsea Football Club needs a bastard in charge, and he is him. Yeah, okay. Maybe he was him, and he might not necessarily be him now. I hear
Oh, I
it.
don't think he
There's
is
an
him. I think
interim.
he's been washed for a number of years, but that's a side
Yeah,
point.
possibly, but go and get him in. Go and just reinvigorate the fan base, which, okay, we've been here before, deja vu, I know, but go and reinvigorate the fan base, go and get a legend back in, and maybe somebody that could show these young players a thing or two. And, Pat said it like fireworks. Give us something. Set us up to beat Liverpool in that final and get us a European place. Do you know what I mean? And look, I know what I'm saying is absolutely wild, but this is how much I don't rate Poch, by the way.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Put it like,
Yeah,
I
it would
do
be quite
not.
funny
He's too
to get.
soft.
Pat in our chat had just suggested Steve Holland. Now, Pat, if we could, I still maintain everything has gone pretty much wrong at Chelsea Football Club since we let England take Steve Holland. Things have not quite been the same. One Champions League win aside, I will say for the people who want Jose Mourinho, citing, oh, he always wins cup finals. He has lost two of his last three domestic. He has lost two of his last three cup finals. He lost the Europa League final with Roma. He did win the Conference League with Roma. Then he did also lose an FA Cup final, Man United, to us. And those cup finals he has won since getting sacked by Chelsea were the Europa League against a bunch of Ajax children, some of whom would then become to world beaters, and a League Cup final against Southampton, folks. So the whole cup specialist thing, even that, I think, has a bit of a wearing point. But Jam has made his stance pretty clear that he feels there is no way back from Mauricio Pochettino, and he would go down the interim route. Jam, so you've gone interim, and look, I grant you that interim is a very, very difficult thing to get thing right now, because who would want it? And it's a very short term role. But just say you've picked an interim manager, and we're seeing the season out. Since you want Poch gone, who do you want as the next permanent manager of Chelsea Football Club? I'm just posing more and more questions to you. And do you honestly think that next permanent manager, there will be a huge amount of difference between what we see right now? Because what I'm getting at is, I'm not entirely sure that bringing a new coach in drastically improves things, because we've seen, if in this scenario we're saying Poch going, we've seen two coaches struggle under this structure so far. What reason is there to say that the next one will get it right? We can obviously argue that they may not make some of the bizarre decisions that Poch makes, but then who knows, they may make some bizarre decisions of their own as well. So who would you like, since we're in this scenario, we're asking loads of questions here, folks, but who would you like as the next Chelsea manager after Poch then? And I do you and do you want can you still honestly, in your heart of hearts, with any confidence, say you have true trust or belief that he would work out at Chelsea Football Club? I'm not judging you for this view. I'm just genuinely curious.
Jurgen Klopp. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Look, first and foremost, before the next manager, I think Poch needs to go because he is something that we can change now and hopefully just, get a little reaction from the players. But actually, what I would do is get rid of those sporting directors.
So you would say, because those people would have had a role in bringing Poch to the club. So you would say Poch goes, and the sporting directors very much go with him as well. And then it's just an admittance from the top, and it probably makes it easy for people to go that, okay, the people we've placed in charge of this role are not doing the job well enough and have led us into this position, and we have a proper get rid situation. That is something you would go for, yeah? Because I
Oh
think
yeah,
that if you I think the sporting director, if I agree, if Poch goes, the sporting directors have to go with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd get the same courier that's going to deliver the P45 to Poch to deliver it to them at the same time. One journey. Off you go. Let them all know. See you later. You know, these guys, it's not looking good. And I think they've picked some good talents. Like let's be real. We've actually got some good players from these guys. But I just think the whole setup is just wrong. And we absolutely need someone that's been there and done it at a big club with success to come in and sort us out. We can't be taking any of these Brighton guys, you know, we can't be relying on that. This is something different. Like I said earlier, I described Chelsea Football Club as an establishment. We are different. And that's not me saying it in an arrogant way. That's saying that we are a problem. You need to be able to deal with this problem. If I give you an example of what I'm talking about on the pitch, Cole Palmer, he is him in his head. And he's taken that to the pitch and he's just adapted to Chelsea like this because he's got that mentality that works for us as we are. We also need that upstairs. We need that as a manager. To say what manager, I'll be very honest with you, call it a cop out, but I don't know. I haven't had enough time to think about it beyond knowing I need this guy gone tonight. Permanent manager needs to be probably sorted out after these sporting directors are sorted out. And then you fit it like that, it's going to take time, isn't it? What I do need is more experience in this squad and not setting up the next manager to fail with a bunch of young babies, with Conor Gallagher as the oldest, most experienced centre mid. You know, I need a little bit more than that. Don't set up the next guy to fail. But you know, in a few months, let's revisit this question. I might have a short list for you.
Fair enough, fair enough. That's very detailed answer from Jam. And yeah, to be honest, I just go to because there were a lot of questions about Poch, etc. And Jess's question, is it over? Jess, it feels over, and I don't want to admit it's over, but Chelsea, but if we and I as someone who still supports Poch and still wants him to see the season out, if we're in a position where every defeat, we're questioning him, and we're never far from a crisis. It's not a healthy position, and I do not think it's a position you come back from. It feels like I'm probably saying similar things to what I said last year under Graham Potter. Every time there's maybe a slight hint of it, maybe a small turnaround, we think, "Oh, okay, you." I take you back to that period under Graham Potter where we beat Leeds at home. We turned that Dortmund tie around, got to the quarterfinals. We then beat Leicester away and we played some good stuff that day. And then we concede the last minute equaliser to Everton. Momentum's gone. We draw and then one game, one defeat later, he's gone. And there's been like a decent little period of, you know, we've seen some things about time, but then bang, it's gone. And it feels that we're talking about Chelsea and I said, you know, a lot of people sort of downplayed this run. And look, I'm not, you know, we obviously should not be going overboard about beating the likes of Fulham at home and Crystal Palace at home. I still wouldn't include Luton away in that because Luton have caused a lot of teams problems this season. That was actually a really good performance that day from Chelsea, you know, prior to the ending. But it does feel, unfortunately, it just does feel untenable, really, because I just don't see where it goes. But you're asking people now. I'm still probably, and it may be naivety, I'm just saying end of the season just to honestly just see it out and see if something happens. Because, like, who in the interim, if you get rid of Poch now, who? I don't see who you get and who you get. And I just like, and my son's having reject, I still like to just give him the end of the season and reassess then because we'll just see what happens. Like, people go, you could bring someone in for a cup final. But again, it depends who this interim is because people go and the interim will give us a better chance in the cup final. But if that interim is, say, a Frank Lampard or a John Terry, can people honestly say that gives us a better chance than with Pochettino a coach? I honestly don't really think so. Like, how many people last year naively said getting rid of Graham Potter and bringing Frank Lampard in improved our chances against Real Madrid? No, it didn't because Graham Potter was a better coach than Frank Lampard. Like, I think judgment. I think really that, you know, if Aston Villa midweek goes badly and we crash out the cup there, then I think there's a decent chance he goes there. And maybe this is naive, maybe people think it. But if you're going to get rid of Poch, I'd wait till after the Carabao Cup final, which I know people will go like, some people won't like, but I think it's going to sound pretty sort of a bit cringy, cliche. But I think he's earned the right to take charge of that Carabao Cup final, given that he has got us this far. Some people disagree. It's a tough situation. As I said, I really want this to work out, and I, despite what I've seen, Chelsea says, I still maintain that I think Mauricio Pochettino is a good coach. It's the same reason I think Graham Potter is a good coach. I think these are good coaches. I think they've made some bizarre decisions. I think their hands at points have been tied, and they've not been given a great environment to succeed in at Chelsea. And it's a phrase I referred to on the pod a pod or two ago. I said, I'm not convinced any coach will succeed here. I think they will just fail more or less than their predecessors. And right now, people will debate, you know, people are already debating who is worse, Potter or Pochettino, which is just quite a, you know, quite a sad debate considering, you know, how miserable people were with Potter. But it's a tough one. I don't really, it's, I don't see any lights anytime soon. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. This just feels like we're stuck. Villa midweek will be brutal. I expect elimination from the cup then. I think, as I said, but I expected that prior to Liverpool and prior to this because I felt that our best chance of going through went when we didn't beat them in that game at Stamford Bridge, just due to how good our home form is and how, you know, wretched our away form is. But again, even if he survives after Aston Villa, then it's Crystal Palace away. That's a struggling Crystal Palace with Roy Hodgson in charge, who Crystal Palace themselves once had. Crystal Palace side that could easily potentially get dragged into a relegation battle, and a Crystal Palace side that Chelsea, despite their dysfunction, still haven't lost to or even drawn to since the defeat under Antonio Conte in sort of the September 2017. So if that run was to go, then it would also feel game over. And I guess this is the point. It feels like we're not far away from just saying, you know, game over. And it's becoming increase, and it has become these two games basically impossible to defend Mauricio Pochettino because we've conceded 8 goals in two games. And I just throw in this question that came in from JL. Is there a case for saying we've been a bit unlucky? Deny the early penalty at Liverpool, then a fortunate bounce allows Jota to score today, score a lovely goal, then get paid back by a huge deflection. When you're down on your luck, those moments makes a big difference. I'm sorry, I can't say we've been unlucky. I think we got obviously shafted by, I think it's fair to say we got shafted by decisions in that Liverpool game. But watch these two games. Watch these two games. We've been awful. We've been truly awful. This is the worst home. Today was the worst home performance we put in all season. Liverpool was as abject, if not more abject, than Man United away, as you know. But because there was refereeing controversy, that also took up some of the spotlight, you know, maybe took away from that performance. But in general, like, I can't really sit here, Jay, and say we've been like, sure, some decisions that maybe could have gone differently, and maybe the outcome of the game could have changed. But we've also got to try and control the things we can control, and we've not done that. We can't, you know, we can't. If we're at a state, and yes, I do agree, we've maybe been a bit unlucky conceding two deflected goals today. Of course, it's a bit unlucky, but we also put ourselves in a position and in these situations where we concede them, i.e., Caicedo giving the ball away when he does in the lead up for our first goal. I don't, yes, obviously, maybe luck has maybe not quite gone our way some decision of these two games, but Chelsea have not reacted, and this Chelsea team has not reacted to adversity and the setbacks that they've faced in these two games. So I can't say we've been lucky. These two games, we've been abject. We've conceded 8 goals in a week. There's not a world in which I can say Chelsea have conceded 8 goals in two games and have been unlucky, really. I can't really come out and say unlucky is an overriding feeling. It's just so, so poor. And so as much as I would love Mauricio Pochettino to work at Chelsea Football Club, like, I just can't really see a world right now where it works. I honestly think the only way this could turn around is if by summer, if he makes it to the Carabao Cup final and he won that. I think that would be huge because it would be, well, I mean, it would be bringing a trophy back to Stamford Bridge and that, but also just a building block and hopefully something for this group, which is partially why I just like to keep him there, just to see if by some chance we do win that Carabao Cup. But it is becoming increasingly difficult because I'm looking at it again today and I'm looking at that Wolves side and I'm looking at that and I'm going, that's a team that just looks better coached than us. Like they do. Granted, they've got more experience than us. And when you've got a group of players inexperienced of us, you're going to get inconsistent performances. But Chelsea should not be losing 4-2 at home to Wolverhampton Wanderers, really. As said, Wolves have never, won at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League. And yes, Wolves have got some good players, but conceding 4 goals at home, come on. And this is the issue when it's a constant theme where we're going, at times it feels like we're feeling like we're getting out coached by, different people. Even back Preston first half, in the FA Cup a few weeks ago, which we ended up winning 4-0, and I didn't want to make a big deal of it. But a lot of people at halftime made the point, and it was kind of valid, that Preston did kind of look like a Premier League team and Chelsea like the Championship team, and they did look a bit better coached than us. Middlesbrough in that first leg against us, they looked well coached. Obviously, that second leg, they looked awfully coached. But that first leg, they did look well coached. And it is frustrating when it just seems that all these teams look better coached than us. But then I also kind of go that... But then... It's probably maybe due to the environment, and again, potentially, but I struggle to see who at Chelsea steps in and succeeds. So yeah, we've had a long chat on here on Poch and said Poch is, Pat is not Poch out yet. He's still, is kind of given time, but he's obviously got his concerns, etc. Jam is very firmly Poch out, and I'm just apathetic to it all, really. And I think, to be fair, I would say Pat, if Poch went, you wouldn't really be sad or angry or annoyed. I don't think you'd really have any reason to complain, or you couldn't really feel like it was it would not feel like a wrong decision, would it? Which I guess is kind of the state we're at. But even if you and I are not calling for Poch's head, it does sort of feel that if he was to go, we couldn't really blame the decision. We couldn't really fault the decision.
No.
And right I'd now, we don't yeah, really I'd know say, what we're clinging on to.
Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, my only concern would be, is the question that you've already asked, what do you do next? Because we saw, as we've already been over, we saw what happened with Frank Lampard last season. And for me, that was really something from the ownership to really get some goodwill from the fans, because it was a feel-good factor to bring him back to the club. And then, that winless run we went on was just dreadful. I mean, he was like a lame duck coach. And, I don't want to see any of our legends in that kind of a situation. I wouldn't want to see John Terry in it. If that's the way they go, that's the way they go. I mean, I have no control over what the ownership does. I said this on X earlier today. I'm like, all I can do is try to support the team. And, and when I say I'm trying to support the team, I don't mean that I'm just like trying to blindlessly support everything they do. I'm still going to voice my concerns. Everyone has a right to feel concerned about how things are going. We want to see this. We want to see our club win and succeed, and rightfully so. But I guess I just don't know that, if the decision's always just to chop and change with this group of players. It worked again under the previous group that we had, because I mean they were just unreal. But what do you do? I mean, and number two, who's going to want to come? That's the big thing. Is that I thought Jam gave a very intelligent answer about not jumping to who it should be yet, because I really don't think we know. I mean, I don't have that answer either, if I'm completely honest. I mean, there's names out there that, every season there's a new flavor of the week in terms of who it should be, because they're doing really well for their clubs. You hear about Ruben Amorim, if I'm saying that correctly. If I butcher that, I'm sorry. Xabi Alonso. I mean, you know, those are the hot names at the moment, and it's just, I don't know what the answer is, and I don't have all the solutions. I mean, I want to be solutions oriented too, but it's just, there's just really big issues. And I just don't know, if you take Poch out, I don't know who you go after.
Yeah. I think my reasoning for wanting Poch to just stay more is just to see if he can see the season out, if he can turn things out. I do think there has been improvement on this season to last season. Granted, it's not going to be as enough as people want in terms of improving players. I do think that's a bit of an issue. I do struggle to see really who he's improved, because I'm reluctant to say Cole Palmer, because Cole Palmer but wasn't really a base to go off of last year. We just knew there was his talent coming off City, and is him playing with obviously, is it also just due to being coached by Pep for a number of years? Look, I do think he has improved Conor Gallagher from last year. I think that's without a doubt, although I said I still think Conor Gallagher was kind of a bit harshly treated at points last season, but I do think he has improved him. I do think, and it's marginal because there was not much to go off, but I do think he has improved in Mykhailo Mudryk. Granted, it's not much, and granted, there's still a lot of questions about Mykhailo Mudryk and if he's good enough, but I do think that is an improvement. I do think he has improved Noni Madueke a bit. But again, it's not much. And these players were coming in January last year and not playing loads. So it's quite a low bar. And in terms of actual starters, and yes, there has been a turnaround, but it's quite tough. Enzo Fernandez, has there been really huge improvement in him? Not really. You know, and this is your big asset. This is your big signing. So, nah, look, it's tough. People said there's a lot, and I don't have faith that this really gets turned around, and I don't have the faith in, these current little sporting directors to get the next appointment right, which is why I said if Poch goes, I think they need to go with him, because otherwise, if they do Poch goes and these lot stay, then good luck, people, because I don't really have much belief in where we're going. So unless Poch goes and there's wholesale changes, then it's going to be quite hard to have belief. But then again, who knows? Then you've got to get your next sporting directors in. You don't probably really want to rush that. I don't know. Then you've got to get a coach in. It's just a mess. It's just quite difficult to really discuss. So we will move on to our next question. Comes in from Dan Hill. Where and how does it end, honestly? I've been a Chelsea fan for almost 21 years now, and I switched off at half time because I genuinely have had enough. Sorry to be negative, guys, but make about what you will. Love the pod and all of you. I mean, it's the first part of that question. I feel Jab, we kind of answered that. Where and how does it end, honestly? I mean, in the immediate, it probably just does end with Mauricio Pochettino taking the can, probably just getting this out. I feel that is how it's in. I do struggle to envision any other scenario right now. It's just a question of when. But for Dan's wider point, and I think this may be explained by him talking about being a Chelsea fan for almost 21 years now and switching off half time because he genuinely had enough. Jam, it does feel quite hard to be positive about Chelsea Football Club and have real any faith in the direction we're going. And this is not to be too overdramatic, because have been some talented players signed. But Jam, out of all that money spent, I honestly, like, a lot of it does feel like a waste. And this is not to just throw some players under the bus, but like spending money on Cassidy and Andre Santos and David Washington and a lot of these players that with like an Angelo who's doing all right in Ligue 1 at Strasbourg. But like, it feels like we spend a lot of money on players who may be like, who we've just got no idea if they're really going to be good enough and what their purpose is. And like, it feels quite depressing that a lot of people cling on to Kendry Páez, this like 16, 17-year-old like Colombian like wonder kid. Like, and sure, he could be great. I've not seen him kick a football, so I'm not going to, play him down or play down his ability. And there's obviously, people who watch him closely clearly rate him very highly. But Jam, it's quite hard to really be optimistic about Chelsea and their future and all these, and some of these players we've signed when it looks like for the second season in a row, Chelsea probably will miss out on Europe through league position. Might be in, a marginal improvement in league finish from last year, but it does feel quite hard to see. Like, I can't say to you, I feel confident I see Chelsea getting back into Europe anytime soon, right now, which Chelsea just need to do immediately, because the way that this ownership group have spent money is not really sustainable to, I don't think, to continue this way. So, yeah. Dan's question, where and how does this end? Because it doesn't feel great right now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great. And I'll just say that that is classic Dan to say he switched off at half time.
I mean, Dan, if I wasn't doing a podcast, I probably would have too, to be fair. Like, it was very tempting. 3-1, it was tempting. 4-1, it was tempting, but I stuck through. But yeah, no, sorry, continue.
Yeah,
Continue, Jam.
for real. How does this end? Well, it doesn't end with Pochettino sacking, even though I want him gone tonight. Unfortunately, it doesn't. I mean, look, we're still going to have our oldest centre mid currently being 23 years old. Like, does that not ring alarm bells for people? I don't care if it's a Jude Bellingham type player. They still need more experience around them to deal with situations that they've never dealt with before. You watch Jude Bellingham in his first cup final with Real Madrid will probably need that guidance. This is what we do. This is how it goes. This is what we need to do. Like these young players still need this. They're still experiencing situations they haven't got. So, to some extent, unlucky Poch. Like, but you knew what you were coming into, so that's on you too. Yeah. So when does it end? it begins to end with Poch being sacked. It begins to end with the sporting directors going, or at least a drastic change of strategy for the short term.
Just to, not to try and like just, you know, dampen the mood further. Does it potentially end this cycle and then start just another new cycle, which kind of probably goes a similar route to the way this cycle has gone?
Potentially, it very much could. That's why we need a drastic change from strategy or upstairs, you know, drastic. And I mean that. The way I'm kind of getting through this, just to say this for all the Chelsea fans, is the short-term games, maybe you could say that I'm pessimistic, but I'm kind of coming to terms with the fact that we've got a fixture list from hell coming up in the next 6 weeks, and it's not looking good, Brev. Come to terms with it. Beyond that, I do cling on to the small fact that I do believe Chelsea Football Club will be back one day, despite all of this nonsense not really starting off well. You know, the engine stalling and all that. I do think we'll make it at some point. And that's not because these guys have got their strategy on point, but I just think we'll come back. So I kind of look forward to that day, whenever that may be, and I'm not putting a time frame on it. I'm just saying we'll be back, that's all. Yeah, for now, just to say it again, it's not looking good, Brev. Not looking good.
Yeah, Pat, you are quite often known to be sort of, you know, a very positive person. So I feel that it's probably good to get your take on that rather cynical, depressing question. Where and how does it end?
Well, I will say this. I think it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. I think it does. I agree with Jam. I do think it does end with inevitably Poch getting sacked. And I would like to, I'd like to say that the sporting directors are moving on to different positions as well. Like, I mean, ideally, I'd like to see, I don't know that he would even do it at this point, considering the situation it's in, but I'd love to see a Michael Edwards come in, who's really helped build something. And, you know, I mean, I can hope for the best. I mean, I'm not, I don't know that he, that just appointing him fixes everything either. But I think that, I think that, again, it's going to get worse before it gets better. The fixture list is horrible coming up. I mean, I think about the Villa game and what Villa did on Saturday. And what did they score, like 4 goals in a matter of like, 15, 20 minutes. And I'm like, oh, they found their shooting boots. Wonderful. Yeah, a lot of tough games coming up. And I think it ends. I think that we're going to have to suffer through the rest of the season, and we're going to have that renewed sense of optimism coming into next season, because I don't see a whole lot of high points coming for the rest of the season. I think that we're going to have to take a hard look in the mirror in the summer and see, like, what is structurally wrong with the club. And the ownership's going to have to be honest with themselves to say, look, this isn't working. They can't let pride get in the way of just keeping things the same, because they think it's, you know, trying to put square pegs into round holes is not going to work. I think that you got to look at the playing staff, and sometimes you have to cut your losses. You know, yeah, you overpaid for players, and I understand there's FFP, but there's certain cases where you're just going to have to try to find solutions. I mean, they're going to have to be solutions oriented, because right now it's broken. And I think that, again, as I said earlier, I think there's a lot of areas of blame that you can point to. I think players have some responsibility. Certainly think the owners and the sporting directors deserve responsibility, because, you know, they didn't build a balanced team. I could not agree with Jam more about needing a veteran presence. That was what made our previous team successful. You had the spine of John Terry, Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard. And I'm not trying to live in those days. Times come and times go, but you need to bring in players of that, you know, I hate to say, like, you need a bastard at times. I mean, you need those types of players. That's been the hallmark of Chelsea's success. You know, I mean, even in times before I was a supporter, you had a Dennis Wise, you had Ron Chopper Harris. I mean, you had guys that would put in a crunching tackle. You had the Kerry Dixons. I mean, you had the, yeah, I could go on and on with previous players, and I don't want to live in the past, but you need those types of characters to try to help Not to repeat what Jam said, but you need to show them how you operate in a final, how you operate when times are down, because you're going to have up and down times during a season. That's inevitable. You're not going to be, you're not going to be at your best every single game, especially with the number of games and the number of competitions you play in these days. So I just think to get back to the question, I think that it's not going to get much better, and we have to get ready for a bumpy ride. But I think it ends at the end of the season, and then they have to look in the mirror again and say, what type of club do we want to be? And you've got to learn from your mistakes and try to become solutions oriented, because it's okay to make mistakes. The problem is making the same mistakes over and over again. You've got to learn from your mistakes, and you've got to try to address them. Or if you don't have the knowledge, bring in people that actually do have the knowledge, and someone that's not a yes man. Bring in someone who's actually going to tell you what you don't want to hear, and do things that are for the betterment of the club. Because when you start seeing that, I do think that Chelsea, a lot of Chelsea supporters are reasonable. If they see that you've got a plan in place, and they see that you're trying to make progress, and you're learning from mistakes, I think you're going to have the support of people at the bridge. I mean, there's always going to be haters no matter what you do. And there's some that are just going to find the negative in every situation. But I think that we just have to learn from our mistakes of the last couple of years. I think the problem is we don't learn from them, and we try to solve it with a shiny new signing that doesn't necessarily fit into the team. And you can't buy every 18 to 20 year old in the world and expect that it's going to make you a world beater. You need to buy the right ones along with some veteran players to try to bridge the gap until those players are ready to take on increased responsibility. And so I don't know if that really answers the question, but I think it just gets to the point that it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think it ends at the season, and I hope, maybe I'm being blindly optimistic, I'd like to think that at some point the people who are in place are going to admit that they've made mistakes and try to actually learn from them. And maybe that's just foolish from my end, but I think that's what it's going to have to take that in order for us to get there. And I'm like Jam. I believe that this is not the end of the days for Chelsea's success. I think at some point we're going to see light again, and I'm never going to lose my positivity on that. But I'm also going to be honest and say we're still not to that light yet. So that's my very, very long-winded answer.
Yeah, we're probably quite a long way away from that light right now. And yeah, Pat, your point about the squad and sort of experience, again, Pete, you mentioned even, John Terry, but I don't think people need to look, that far back. I still, and I've used this example plenty of times when talking about this, just look at that team Frank had in 1920, where he was able to drop Mason in, where he was able to drop Tammy in, where he was able to drop Reese in, Tomori, because in that team, he had Pedro, he had Willian, he had Kovacic, he had Jorginho, he had Kante, he had Rudiger, he had Alonso, he had Emerson, he had Azpi. Like, you drop Cole Palmer in one of those teams, in that team now, in sort of that team in 1920, he does fine, he fries, he flourishes, he's thriving and flourishing in this team. But this is the point, as I said it before, we talk about, the idea is not bad, signing these young players is not bad, but they've signed too many of them, but you can't, it's not just realistic to play them all. And yes, some will be bought on for profit, but also there's just been a complete negligence of looking in the short term, that it's not, in the immediacy, that it's not going to, to use that old cliche phrase, but you don't win anything with kids. You don't really, it's just, nah, we've got it wrong. And as for Dan's question about, how does this all, when's it all end, etc. Dan, I'm just going to simulate a period of time. I don't know how long it takes, but I simulate a period of time. And then during that period of time, Chelsea and this ownership group move heaven and earth to get Diego Simeone in from Atletico Madrid, get one of the gnarliest coaches out there, one of the most disgusting coaches to watch his teams play. And we just turn into a bunch of proper see you next Tuesdays. We get a see you next Tuesday in charge, and his team is in his image, and it's a bunch of see you next Tuesdays. And sure, the team is not the greatest to watch, but at least it would be intentional, unlike some of the football we've watched the last two seasons, which hasn't been intentional. No, Dan, I don't know, Dan. Honestly, that's at this point, side point. If Chelsea were to sack Pochettino, just rip it all up, rip it all up and just go again, and you know, get Simeone in and just get a bastard in. That's my approach. It's kind of simple. Just get a bastard in. And for what it's worth, Simeone is not a footballer. It does not seem like the footballing dinosaur. He's still doing great things with Atletico Madrid. Next question has just come in from RJ, literally just now as we're still recording. Do you think the club should be concerned about its operating model, transfer strategy, and whether there could be any ramifications of our better players wanting to leave early, given the current state? This kind of just continues the discussion on. But RJ, simply put, yes. I think already we're running out on time on Enzo Fernandez. I thank God, and I mean this, I thank God every day, and I'm not a religious man, but Reece James was an idiot to sign that bumper deal at Chelsea. Like, I know he's had injuries at Chelsea, etc., but like, and obviously it's a big question of if he could stay fit, but if he could stay fit, that boy has got Real Madrid all over waiting for him. I thank God every day he was, and I thank God he has such a strong love and affinity feeling for Chelsea, but he wanted to commit his future to Chelsea that long a time, because boy, oh boy, that was one of the most stupidest contract renewals ever. And I thank him every day for doing that. And maybe people think that's bizarre, but I'm sorry, why would you commit to Chelsea for this period of time? It's bizarre. Yeah, Enzo Fernandez is one, RJ, who I think we've absolutely got to probably be worried about. Caicedo will be soon, and look, Enzo will go, and he will no doubt ball out. In terms of other players, I mean, Cole Palmer's literally just come, but like, it won't be long with him. It probably won't be long. He's been Chelsea's best player this season. Now it's not even really a conversation at this point. He'll be one who could easily make the step up, even if it's not, you know, even if probably City don't want him back, etc. He would still do that. There will be players, man. I mean, who knows? Malo Gusto had a poor game today, but he's been one of those good signings as well that's worked out. He could easily be someone who wants to leave. It's not to be all doom and gloom, but like, I do think, RJ, to your question, the club should be concerned about its operating model and transfer strategy. Because as I said, it's Chelsea Football Club have not progressed as a team into really significantly in two seasons. Like, I think back to even, and I said, if you're someone, and I know there's a change of ownership has happened, but I said, if you're someone like Reece James, who made his Chelsea debut in 2019, you won the Champions League. So what have you got left to achieve at Chelsea? Is probably what, a Premier League title? But in 5 years, have you moved at all closer to achieving that dream? Absolutely not. And that's someone who's been here 5 years. And look, I don't think Reece will be going anywhere time soon. And I think, unfortunately, injuries are just going to be something that blights him. And unfortunately, we just talk about a lot with Reece. But Jam, do you think the club should be concerned about its operating model, transfer strategy, and whether there could be any ramifications for better players wanting to leave early, given our current state? Because I think absolutely they should. And I absolutely think the players will want to leave. And, you know, there were obviously already rumblings, I think, at points last season, that players sort of, were worried, you know, annoyed about the length of contract they've signed. But I mean, absolutely, even like on a sort of wider point, and I know there's a lot to the story, but, you know, Mason Mount left last year. That was one player who chose to go. And yes, obviously it depends, you know, people have their own feeling on it, but you know, the club didn't necessarily do their best to keep him. But then also there were, contrary reports of either like a 1 year offer or like an 8 year offer. And it's like, well, no, just give him like a potentially normal contract length. And anyway, that's just digressing. But Jam, do you think the club should be concerned about its operating model and transfer strategy, and whether players, you know, ramifications of their players want to leave given its current state? Because I absolutely think they should do. I think I would be very worried that, you know, they've signed a lot of these players and they're going to be wanting to move them soon, and they're going to have to be replacing these players soon. And, you know, I'm kind of worried how they might replace them.
Yeah, I'm very worried. I said it a while ago, but, you know, when are you going to get Enzo Fernandez going, I've always supported Real Madrid? You know, looking at that Champions League going, I need to play in that again. You know, the Caicedo, like, it's not good. You can't keep losing and come back and go, okay, let's go again. Okay, let's go again. Look at any aspect of your life. I don't mean this in a depressing way, please. Don't take it the wrong way, guys. But if things don't keep going your way again and again and again, each time you go back to try and do whatever that said thing is, and you know, you're not going to be as up for doing whatever that said thing is as you were the time before. If you lose and lose and lose, or it's not going your way, not going your way, not going your way. So let's go on a football pitch. If you keep losing, and you look at Enzo's year here, my gosh, look at his year. He's better than this. He's a World Cup winner, world champion, and he has to endure this.
If Enzo Fernandez could turn back the clock to the World Cup, he would. Then he'd probably do quite a few things differently,
Yeah.
Jam. I will let you continue to say, but also I just continue. You talk about the players and wanting to come back and back, but I then just refer you to Dan's question and his overall feeling. That's someone like Dan who is a fan of this club, who loves this club, has this feeling, and he's defeated. He is tired. We shouldn't then be surprised if players who do not have that same level of love, that feeling, as Dan does, but they then want to join ship because they've got a lot less connection and attachment and feel to this club than Dan does as a supporter, and us fellow supporters do, don't they?
Yeah, for real. And look, Enzo and Caicedo came off X the other day. This is the beginning of the rumblings for for those two. For whatever reason they came off, which was to do with abuse by the looks of it, do you think that they now have the same feelings they had, a few months ago that they did for Chelsea? No way. No
Listen,
way.
that probably does go on to a wider point, but without and it's not trying to put blame on the online fan base, because the online fan base, in terms of what's going wrong at Chelsea, are not really, shouldn't really be factored in. But you, as someone leaked a message, I think today, that they, messaged Mudryk after a game a while ago or something,
Oh,
just like
yeah.
messaging him. And look, granted, Mudryk replies, and that kind of just feels a Mudryk thing to do, but I don't want to tear into him. But it just feels that also. These fans probably also like, and without trying to tear into us as fans and people, but probably also we're probably not really appealing to play for right now, given that the way that we, I say we, I'm just a general term for we as fans there, treat these players. It's probably like, as I said before, Chelsea is not a desirable club to be at right now. Really, it's a club to try and further your career and then get out of. And then I guess the issue is if you've got an 8-year deal, that's quite hard to get out. But Chelsea right now just feels like a, to me, just feels like a stepping stone club for a lot of players. Like if I'm Cole Palmer leaving Seam Summer, I'm thinking that's a great move. And now I'm thinking, great, I'm playing well. I'm thinking I can get out of here soon. I can make that next step up. I'm doing my time. This is brutal. This sounds like Chelsea's like a stepping stone, like a loan like type club. Take my time. And then I can make that next move up and play Champions League for someone else. Like that, it does kind of feel like that. But Jam, just continue what you want to say, and then I'll bring Pat in.
Let's look at it this way, right? Let's look at it this way. So, we've got an idiot in charge at the moment, the manager. We don't pay the highest wages. There are higher wages out there. And I know we're on long-term contracts and all that. So, from the player's point of view, to secure 100K per week for the next 8 years, absolutely amazing for your life. When you think football could be a short career, and things could go wrong just like that. I think signing that is amazing. However, if you are like a Cole Palmer, let's say, and you are him, you go, well, I could easily triple that somewhere else. I could. So why are you going to hang about? People, these clubs that are in Europe looking at our players going, yeah, would you not want to come play in Europe? And then things start going wrong. These players want to leave. Players are getting abuse, look at what Mudryk got, look at what Enzo and Caicedo got. They had to come off the app. Like, there are all these things that are just going, this is quite draining. And our last squad, a lot of players checked out because it was draining. This is Chelsea Football Club right now. Chaos, circus, Chelsea Football Club. And another thing is when you look long term, and let me just add this in here, we are looking to revamp our stadium. All right. How draining is that going to be? That whole process. Okay,
That
let's say
whole
we stay at Stamford.
experience, just playing
Yeah.
at like a Wembley or a Twickenham or
Yeah.
like wherever, just away, yeah.
Yeah. How draining is that going to be on top of what we are now? Because if we were doing well now, if we were at least somewhere respectable, you could swallow that. But then if you're not doing well and you're finding it draining and you're not really enjoying life, and then you've got that to look forward to? Why are you going to hang about? Just saying.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Pat, what's your thoughts in response to RJ's question? Do you think the club should be concerned about its operating model and transfer strategy, and whether there could be ramifications for our better players wanting to leave early, given the current state we're in?
Yeah, I
You
do
in
think.
agreement with us?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I think that, whereas in previous years, like Chelsea was the destination, now Chelsea's kind of like on the way to the ultimate destination. Like what Jam said about, I've always wanted to join Real Madrid. I've always wanted to join Real Madrid or insert European club here. Or it's always been my dream to do that. I mean, it's, I mean, I'm just waiting for the quotes that the agents put out about, you know, this is where I've always wanted to be. And, you know, can't wait to play at the Bernabeu or wherever it might be. I don't think just because players have been signed to 8-year contracts, don't underestimate the power of players to engineer moves. I think that, you know, it's great for the books that they were able to do that, I'm sure. But if you're not winning and these players know that, you know, you only have so many years in a career, not everyone gets to be a Thiago Silva playing until the age of, you know, 39, 40 and beyond. Some of these guys, you know, your last game could be tomorrow with injuries. I mean, you just don't know. So you're going to want to play in the biggest competitions and win as many trophies as you can get, 'cause that's the name of the game. That's what you're judged by at the end of the day. And now that Enzo's had a taste of that with the World Cup, he's going to want to taste success in his club football. And Moises Caicedo, the same. I mean, you know, Cole Palmer, the same thing. There's going to be some guys that don't want to move because they know they can't get moves past where they are right now. They're at Chelsea Football Club and they're probably at the height of where they're going to want to be. But the other thing is that the owners need to realize this is not Major League Baseball. This is the English Premier League. It's the way you get free agents, you know, the way free agency works in American, you know, in baseball in America is not the same way that it works, you know, the way transfers work in football. It's just not. They're two different things and two different systems. And I think they're going to have a rude awakening to the fact that the way that they've done things, if they think that this has worked, then they really need to go and examine themselves because it hasn't. And you're going to lose the luster of being able to attract players to try to add to the squad. I can't even believe some of the names that we've been linked with are even considering, you know, joining this club. I mean, obviously selfishly, I hope they do, but you know, but then we have to think about too, FFP. I mean, that's still out there. And, you know, now that you've seen some of these, you know, you worry every time that there's a report out there, like, is there going to be something? And maybe not right now, but if we're going to take losses on some of these players, if they really are intent on changing, that becomes a factor. And it limits what you're going to be able to do because of, you know, poor decisions come back to bite you at some point. It may not be for a season, it may not be for 5 years, but it does come to roost at some point, especially if things don't get better, because they made some of these decisions contingent on getting into European football, getting back into the Champions League. And we're not seeing that. We're not even seeing European football at all, you know, in the current state of things. And it's like I said earlier, I repeat, they need to look at themselves in the mirror and see that things are just not working. And, you know, I want to be solutions oriented. I don't have the magic crystal ball answer for you right now, but you have to admit what's going wrong, and we know what's going wrong, and we need to address those things and not try to put a Band-Aid on something, because right now I think winning a cup puts a Band-Aid on the problem. It's kind of like when we won the Champions League. You know, we knew that there were problems even then, but that put a Band-Aid on long-term structural issues. And I think winning the Carabao Cup would do the same thing in a way, because they'll say, hey, look, we won a trophy. That's progress. But there's still things that are not right that you still need to address, despite, of course, I hope we win a cup. I mean, that would be great. I mean, the fans deserve a trophy and some type of success, but we still couldn't deny the fact that there are problems. And so structurally, I think that there's a lot in it that needs to be addressed. They need to realize that they need to bring in people who understand football and let them make decisions and not let the scouts, you know, like, not people who should maybe be scouting, be making the final sporting director decisions. And yeah, I think I just think that there needs to be a real honest look in the mirror and admit what you can do and what you can't do, and bring in people around you to do the things that you can't do.
Yeah. And RJ, simple point. There were flaws in the way Chelsea Football Club was run before this new ownership took over. I think we were, you know, very, very aware of that. Now, this ownership group have made Chelsea less desirable than when they first took over. So purely by that logic, and that's just my opinion, but I think the evidence kind of suggests that, just given how Chelsea have been this last season and a half, whatever, then absolutely that results in us, one, we should be concerned with that, with our operating model and transfer strategy, and two, we should be worried about better players wanting to leave because Chelsea are less desirable club than when they first arrived at. The situation has got worse. Why would you want to stay? Yeah, very, very fatalistic pod so far. This is fun. So we're going to end with our final question that comes in from another friend of the show, Harrison Burridge. What are the short-term fixes with the selection of the team to try and make the best of a bad situation? Pat, I'll just continue with you on this. What short-term fixes with selection of a team would you try and do to make the best of this bad situation? I mean, one, I probably wouldn't play Nkunku up top like we did tonight. Like, we've not even mentioned it on the pod so far, which is kind of because there's been so much other stuff to chat about. But Christopher Nkunku, bless him, aside from one little ball over the top that he tried to get on the end of, he was anonymous today. He got absolutely no service. You'd have been forgiven for thinking he was on a football pitch. That's one of them. I would not play Nkunku, you know, up front. I would, you know, play him off, you know, say play him off someone. He's not, you know, the man, necessarily the main man to lead the line. So in that aspect, I would get Jackson back in for Wednesday straight away. And I would probably do Jackson, Nkunku and Madueke front three. It's probably between that and Mudryk front three. It's not great. We're basically looking at an option where it's Palmer and we'll do Palmer and Nkunku Jackson front three. Palmer and Nkunku Jackson front three. That's the one. Peep Jam was shaking my head when I was like, "Is that?" I was forgetting about the players on the pitch there. So we'll go Palmer and Nkunku Jackson front three. We'll go Caicedo and Enzo and Carney midfield three, and then we'll go. I'm guessing Cobble's still not fit, so we'll go Gusto right back. Just still, he's still got to be there. He had a poor game today, but he's still got to be in there. Left back, we'll probably play Chilwell. He's been rubbish for the last couple of games, but we'll still play him because I don't really want to see Levi there, and I doubt Levi's there. And then sitting back, despite the fact that we're saying Thiago Silva should not be playing in this team, he will be playing in this team, and I would imagine it's that. And then it's either Dzarzi or Badiashile when Petrovic is in goal. I mean, I'm just looking at short term fixes to the team. I'm trying to think. This is not me trying to be downbeat on our players, but Conor Gallagher, bar Middlesbrough, I don't think has been great for Chelsea in this last month. Really, bar that Middlesbrough second leg, but he's back coming off the bench. Pat, I'm just what short term fixes would you make to this team? As I said, I've kind of just listened to the team. I'd like to see for Wednesday whether or not it's possible or not is another question. But I mean, yeah, I'd probably start by not playing Nkunku as your striker.
I mean, you covered a lot of what I would say. I think I don't think Nkunku is like a, you know, like a proper forward. I think he's a wide player. And I don't think he has the strength in the Premier League to handle that responsibilities, particularly with the way that we play. But I would say Palmer and Nkunku Jackson up top, Jackson in the middle. Sometimes with the wide players, it's kind of like pick your poison because no one's really on form. I don't know. I agree with Enzo Caicedo and Carney. I want to see what Carney can do. I think Gusto because you have to. All I know is I don't want to see Ben Chilwell at left midfield. In the center, I'd love Caldwell if he's fit. I don't know.
It's a mad snap. I didn't realize Levi Caldwell has been absent of all the four games this season, with Chelsea conceded four goals, and apparently, so
yeah,
who knows? Maybe he is the solution. So he has avoided some of the
climbers. You know,
anyways.
I'm probably getting my numbers wrong here, but I'd throw in Madueke just to see what he can do. I don't know.
Yeah, just because I don't want you to get confused on numbers. Because if we've got the back one, we've got Caicedo and Enzo. I'm presuming these are who you've got midfield, and you've got Carney there, and you've got Madueke. Then what are you doing? Because there's
I'm as bad as getting
which one misses out? Palmer, Jackson, and Nkunku.
No, I'm teaming Palmer, Jackson, and Nkunku. Then Madueke is out. I'm as bad at putting in a balanced Chelsea squad as the Chelsea managers. Let's see. I forget where I am in numbers, but I'm going in the defense. So I said across the back line, I mean, I do Gusto and Chilwell on the, you know, right and left and in the center. I'd like to see Caldwell actually played at center back, which is a, you know, which is his proper position. And then I guess Thiago Silva. I mean, you know, I'd even with his mistakes, I'd still keep him in there because no one else is playing him out of a position. That's the problem I have is that no one's really, you know, keeping him out of the team as far as their form. So,
yeah, we've been quite critical of Thiago Silva, and we are still keeping him in, which is quite a damning statement.
Well, I mean, Badiashile's been out of form. I mean, Disasi has not exactly lit it up either. But I mean, I think he gets extra hate sometimes more so than he might deserve. But he's not been great at times. I wish I had Wesley Fofana fit. I mean, that would be that's probably one I'd put in there. I'd like to see a Fofana Caldwell partnership just to see how that works. At this point, I'm willing to just try to experiment just to kind of see if we can get players in form. So that's a probably weak answer to your question, but that's probably the team that I kind of have in mind.
That's fine. And I think that Fofana Caldwell partnership, who knows? We'll probably have to wait quite a while for that if Wesley Fofana's seeing a football field anytime soon. Unfortunately, Jam, what short-term fixes with the selection of a team would you try and make to make the best out of this situation we're currently in? I mean, Pat and I have kind of labelled a team we'd like to see. Just thoughts on that team and what would you like to see moving forward?
Okay, hear me out here. Let's go with this team. Sanchez in goal. Disasi right back.
Wait, just to be clear, you're dropping Petrovic for Sanchez?
Oh, no. Hear me out here. So, okay. Sanchez in goal. Sanchez in goal. Disasi right back. Silva. Right centre back, Badiashile left centre back, Caldwell left back. Enzo, well, Caicedo CDM, Enzo number 10, and just throw Gallagher in, you know, in the midfield anywhere. Then we'll go Sterling on the left, Palmer false nine because he has to be, yeah. And then we'll go with anyone right wing. Who cares? Does that sound sane to you or what? Because we've had to suffer that. It's stupid, isn't it? So my short term solution is get rid of this guy that does that stuff. Maybe, you know? But anyway, in a real one, let me answer the question properly. So obviously Petrovic in goal. The only trouble that we've got now, okay. You know, this is a problem for Poch to deal with. I get it. Our players are very, very fragile. You know, like when you get those fragile goods in those boxes, they've got that fragile side of them. But you can stick that on every one of our players, other than, funnily enough, Silva, who seems to be as robust as ever. So, Gusto, but you need to look after him. Gusto right back, Silva and Disasi. So Silva left centre back, Disasi right centre back. Badiashile's off it. He needs to be on the bench. He needs to hold that. Ben Chilwell left back. Even him, he's very lucky. He hasn't got much competition there. Caicedo, Enzo, but Enzo's got to play deeper. He cannot be joining in. He needs to be the Cesc Fabregas in the Conte season. We won a league. Like, he needs to be that guy. And then put a proper number 10 there. Palmer in front. So what that does mean is I am going to go with... Actually, Nkunku in front of them. I'll put Nkunku in front of them in camp. Palmer on the right, Jackson up front. And then take your pick on the left. I was vouching for Mudryk massively earlier on in the season. And then he dropped the stinker he did against Middlesbrough. I will never forget that. And that just showed me this guy's really not ready right now. I think long term he could be at some point. Maybe give him a loan, whatever. Right now, I don't need to see him be more than an impact sub. And then that drops it down to two people that I'm not really fans of right now. Noni Madueke as well. Against Liverpool. My God, this guy is not it. He's not ready right now. I know he's young, but my God, he's not what we need right now. He's far from it too. Not as far as Mudryk, but he's far off it. Which leaves me with my best friend to play left wing. I'm not going to name names, but unfortunately, by default, this guy must play. And you know how sick I feel saying that as well, by the way. But you know, he needs to start.
Fair enough, fair enough. That was all the listener questions we got today. Yeah, that was probably the most. I reckon there's been some low points, but I reckon in terms of just doom and gloom, general fatalism, negativity, this might be the most fatalistic pod out there. So this is going to be a fun listen on your Monday morning commute to work, folks. So enjoy the perfect start for your working week and your jobs that you absolutely love. Anyway, as always, guests, I give themselves give them some, a plug. So Pat, give yourself one last plug where people can find you and all your stuff.
First of all, thanks for having me on. I mean, certainly fun to be on with you and Jam. You know how much I rate both of you. You can find me on X and Instagram at PTP underscore COYB. I really do plan on trying to be more consistent with putting out content, maybe at least one or two things a week. Probably starting out with one to make sure I'm consistent with it. Probably more chat with Pat segments, just to kind of keep a pulse on what I'm thinking about what's going on. As you can see, I'm still confused about what our best team is because since I can't even put a clear starting 11 out there for the listeners to even respond to. But you know, I'll work on that. But yeah, I'm at PTP underscore COYB. I'm going to try to keep it as positive but realistic as I can. I think there's just I don't think that all the vitriol that we see out there on social media helps anything. So I'm not saying that you have to say everything is, you know, everything is roses and rainbows because it's not. But I think being realistic, but also, you know, coming up with, you know, just sharing your opinion, there's nothing wrong with that, but just going after players and everything else that you see and people using it as a chance to just generate edgy content for views. I'm not a big fan of that. But anyways, you didn't ask my opinion on that, but I just wanted to, you know, just thank you again for the chance to be on. I really, despite the defeat, I enjoyed kind of going through it with you guys.
We've had it's very peaceful for all of us. We've got a lot of stuff off our chest. And Jam, give yourself one last plug where people can find you and all your stuff.
Yeah, it's been good, boys. It's been a pleasure being on with both of you. Thanks for inviting me, Nick. Big up yourself, Pat. Shame it's not under better circumstances, but it's been very therapeutic, so thank you anyway. You can all find me on at carefree underscore jam on X, TikTok and Instagram, and also the Kona of the Chelsea Social and the CFCW Social. You can find them on at the Chelsea Social on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, and at the CFCW Social on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. And whilst we're recording this, yeah, the women's team just beat someone at home just now in the league, so it's been good. Everton, I think 3-0, so big them up.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Those links will be in the description below. As for us, we're on Twitter or X at Chelsea Pod. We're on Instagram, at Chelsea Pod. We're on all usual podcast platform providers, Apple, Spotify, Google, etc. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please leave a rating review. And if we were too fatalistic, I apologize. This maybe, you know, maybe this is not quite the therapy you were after. But you know, it was just us being honest about how we felt, and it's quite tough to really be too positive after what we've seen today and what we saw midweek. As said, whenever I do put out any likes and reposts go a long way, gets us onto other people's timelines. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Yeah, it's been a tough week. Next week might get tougher. We might be out of the cup, but hey, you know, let's have hope. And we'll be back you know, next week to look back at Chelsea's cup tie against Aston Villa. Fingers crossed it all goes well. But until the next episode, keep the blue flag flying high.
Sports Social Podcast Network.